Welcome back to the News and Views Radio Network. My name is Nick Archuleta, and I am the president of North Dakota United, and I'm really happy to be substituting for Joel Heidkamp today, in part because I get to introduce our next guest. His name is Taylor Broerby. Taylor Broerby is the author of Boys in Oil, Growing Up Gay in a Fractured Land, Crude Poems, Coming Alive, Action and Civil Disobedience, and he's a co-editor of Fracture, Essays, Poems, and Stories on Fracking in America. He has done some great writing, and you should buy this book. And I believe he's in town, aren't you, Taylor, for a book signing tomorrow at Zambros?
I'm going to be in Fargo tomorrow night at Zambros. That's right. I'll get into Fargo just before midnight tonight, Nick.
Oh, wow. Well, you're going to love it. The weather, I hope you get in here before the horrible weather starts. Of course, no guarantees.
I've heard you've been having a heat wave there.
Well, you are from North Dakota. I believe you lived out in Center North Dakota in Oliver County, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I grew up in Center and lived there until my sophomore year of high school when we moved to Bismarck.
Well, that's outstanding. So I had read just a little while back, I think it was at the towards the tail end of February, an op-ed that you wrote in the New York Times that focused primarily on some legislation that's been introduced that would place restrictions on libraries, on what books they could have in their collections and where they could be displayed in their libraries. What prompted you to write that op-ed?
Well, I'm just so against censorship in general. I mean, libraries are supposed to be bastions of knowledge and information, places where everyone is welcome and people can move freely through the library system. And the legislation that's being kicked up right now, both in North Dakota and in other states, seems to really restrict what the library can carry and what levels it should be pitched at. I'm worried, Dick, that essentially we're going to have like sort of age corrals at the library where you have to show some type of ID that lists your age and that signals that you can go into the middle grade section or the adult section or the history section and things like this.
So both of those bills done that, primarily House Bill 1205, which was put in by Leader Mike LaFleur, has been amended, and I believe the second bill, Senate Bill 2360, has also been narrowed, has been amended to narrow its scope. And so basically that House Bill 1205 only deals now with children's libraries and what materials can be in front of children. Our opposition to this bill wasn't that, you know, we are all of us, of course, against putting age inappropriate materials in front of students, in front of kids in the state of North Dakota. But the fact is that there are already library boards and other organizations at the local community where they're closest to the people that they serve that can make those decisions.
That's correct. I mean, part of this is a real overreach here into what the library is and who it serves. I mean, to think about appropriate age-related material goes without saying. I mean, part of the fury that's been whipped up over these bills, Nick, is let us just be clear. No library in North Dakota is peddling in pornography. I think the architects of this bill and its supporters are people who don't even go to the library. I mean, in my 35 years of being a regular library member, nothing that would fall under the level of pornography has passed under my nose. And, you know, curious boys in middle school and high school will look for anything they can get their hands on. But it's not as if the library is dealing in Hustler or Playboy or things like this. And librarians are the stewards of getting material that's appropriate for that level of readership in those sections of the libraries.
Yeah. And you know, just wait till some of these people find out there's something called the internet out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when we're talking about these things, libraries are the places that are the most protective of the people who come in there in terms of filters on what you can and cannot peruse, for instance, on the internet at a library. Most parents don't do these types of things. Most parents unleash smartphones on their children, you know, which opens up the whole wide world to them. And so libraries, in fact, Nick, are these safe refuges for not only children, but much of society to have a break from the rest of what we encounter in our daily lives.
Sure. And you know, there seems to be a national trend here. I mean, we know of all about the culture wars and what they're doing in Florida and that sort of thing. And it seems to me that, well, first of all, I haven't heard the word Florida as much in any given legislative session as I have this one. And the second thing is that it seems that if there's something that's going on in Florida or Texas or maybe Arizona, that becomes wrapped up in the national culture wars. So that some of these things really aren't even issues in North Dakota, but they get play as if they are.
It's sort of a nice fear-mongering attempt by a certain narrow faction of society, I think, to distract people from really important issues such as, you know, the minimum wage, inflation, fossil fuel extraction, climate change, infrastructure, things that actually, at the end of the day, really matter. This is sort of putting up a straw man argument, sort of making an issue where there isn't one.
Yeah. So listen, I want to talk to you about your book, Boys and Oil, Growing Up Gay in a Fractured Land. This draws heavily on your time in Oliver County and Center, and your time in Bismarck. And I've only begun to read it, but it's a beautifully written memoir. I mean, the language that you use and the style that you write in is just absolutely engaging. And I fully intend to finish this book at my very first chance I get. So what prompted you to write it?
Well, there's not a book like it, or there certainly hasn't been one. If you draw a line, if you follow the 100th meridian that runs right through North Dakota, that divides the state in its aridity compared to its rainfall. If you follow that from North Dakota to Texas, over to where I currently live in Salt Lake City and up to Seattle, that's about 15 state region, Nick. And there's no memoir about growing up gay in that vast region. And I think if you don't have a book, a real book, a memoir that reflects your lived experience, how can you think that this is a place for you, or that you're normal, or that your story matters? And so part of it was, you know, I study bookshelves and I go, why isn't this book on there? And usually that's an invitation to write that book.
Yeah, you mentioned that particular narrative has not been there before. What would it have meant to you, Taylor, to have found, let's say, this book on a library shelf when you were growing up in Center?
It would have allowed me to feel less alone. You know, I mean, I spent time in my basement in Center watching Will and Grace and the original Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And both of those things were set in this magical place called New York City. And I thought, oh, well, that's only where people like me live. I have to get there. I never wanted to leave home. I think North Dakota is the most beautiful place in the country. But if you're feeling that you're the only one like you in a particular place, it seems that the only option you have is to leave home, to get elsewhere. I mean, thankfully, North Dakota now in the eastern part of the state, an earlier book is Prairie Silence by Melanie Hoffert that details a young romance and being gay as well. I mean, North Dakota per capita has been pumping out quite a number of gay writers.
Well, it's an amazing book, as I mentioned before, and I will preface that by saying that I haven't finished it yet, but I've really enjoyed what I've read so far about it. It's unique for North Dakota authors, and so when you thought about writing this book, was it something that you started and then put off for a while, or was it something that once you started writing it, you couldn't stop writing it?
I felt that this, you know, the first thing I ever published was about 12 years ago at Minnesota Public Radio, and it was about being outed by my aunt. And if I trace my thinking back to that moment, that's the beginning of this book and circling around this idea. The book had actually been under contract with a different press for about 4 years, and I struggled with it because the press kept telling me to, quote unquote, take the gay thread out. Well, I finally got an agent and broke my book contract and took it to my current publisher, LiveWright, which is an imprint of W.W. Norton. And the editor there, thank goodness, said, Taylor, whoever told you to take the gay thread out was an idiot. You know, I mean, that part of this has been so big in my thinking around why haven't we had more stories about queer people growing up on the Great Plains? And so it feels very surreal, Nick, to kind of be talking to you in 2023 and feel like this is one of the first books to do that. So it's been much on my mind. I mean, when you're sort of at the forefront of bringing something to the culture's attention, you want to do it well. You want it to not only be a good story, but you want your sentences to sing.
Well, I think you've accomplished that. So you're going to stick around through the break. Welcome back, everybody, to the News and Views Network. I'm Nick Archuleta, president of North Dakota United, the guest hosting for my friend Joel Heitkamp today. And we're happy to welcome back to the show Taylor Broerby, an author of a pretty doggone good book called Boys in Oil, Growing Up Gay in a Fractured Land. Taylor is a North Dakota native from Center North Dakota in Oliver County. And Taylor, I've hiked in those hills around there. I know that area pretty well. My father-in-law is a native of Center North Dakota. In his 86 years, he's still drawn back to that community. And clearly you have a connection still with that. You write beautifully about the prairie and the feeling the grass under your feet. Your father was in the energy development profession, and you guys know all about what it's like to traipse around a prairie. What is it about that area that keeps you connected?
It's incredible. I mean, I was knocked out and finally validated in eighth grade when I first read Uncle John Steinbeck's nonfiction book, Travels with Charlie. Page 118 in my copy says something like, someone must have told me about the Missouri River between Bismarck and Mandan, North Dakota. And he said, you know, here is where the country should be divided. The map should fold. And it just felt so true to me that when we would go on bi-monthly grocery runs to Bismarck, when we would cross from, you know, that tawny brown landscape in Buttes over near Mandan into what I thought was a lush green world in Bismarck, I finally thought, my God, if the man who won the Nobel Prize sees this place as I do, it must be incredible, you know? And then, I mean, when you grow up, you know, 9 miles south of where Sacagawea met Lewis and Clark and a half hour north of where George Armstrong Custer lived before he had the worst day of his life, you know? I mean, it's an incredible, incredible landscape, you know? I mean, it's center is the origin stories of all of our country's myths and problems and possibilities, I think.
I think that's a very lovely way of putting that. There is a connection here. It's almost like a lodestone that draws us home again. And I think that was very, very well put. So you ended up leaving here. You didn't move to New York City to live with Will and Grace. You ended up in Utah.
I mean, rather circuitous way, I've lived all over in every sort of major region of the country. That's partly because I earned my living through academia. So you go where you can get a job. In fact, in August, I'll be taking up a position at the University of Alabama teaching nonfiction. And Alabama somehow has one of the premier creative writing programs in the country. So I'm just here out in Utah for this year to work on my next book. So I have a lot of time to read and write and promote my current book, Boys in Oil.
Well, that's terrific. And as you've traveled the country, are you seeing more and more young people that are drawn to writing about their experiences, people who grew up like you did, that thought they had a secret or thought they were the only ones around that were like them?
I am. I mean, the myth that no one reads or that books are dead is just a lie. I mean, my friends in the independent bookstore world tell me young people are reading now more than ever. I mean, there are millions of people out there who are reading books, and MFA programs where people come to study creative writing at the graduate level have just proliferated in the last few decades. People are hungry to learn how to write better, how to share their stories. And I think the publishing industry is finally reacting to that. We're seeing a lot more support for people who are disabled, from communities of color, for the queer community in writing their books. So it's an incredible time, Nick, to be a writer right now.
Well, it's an incredible time to be a reader, I'll tell you that. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow night at Zambro's. What time do you start?
I start right at 6:30, so I'm looking forward to having a good time with a big audience.
All right, you'll get it. Have a safe travels into beautiful Fargo, and thank you again for joining us.
Thanks so much, Nick.